Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in another Behind the Bets podcast. I am Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on Wednesday, February 20th. I am back from vacation, so a little bit of a hiatus, almost 2 full weeks. And Kai is on vacation, a much-deserved vacation, but we have Gabe in the producer chair. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How about you?
Good. How would you rate your NBA fandom?
I would say NBA is a close second for me after soccer.
Okay, good, good. And where do you stand on the gambling space? Are you a degenerate like we are?
You know what? I am not quite as knowledgeable as you guys, so today will be an interesting conversation.
All right, we're going to dive really deep into the NBA betting world. Two pro bettors out in Las Vegas will be joining me, Preston Johnson and Aaron Renning. You've probably seen both of their works on ESPN.com. You might remember Preston joined me and Brian Windhorst to enter the season on the preseason sort of season win totals for the NBA, and we went through all 30 teams, and we're going to talk about some storylines coming up. Starts with the Warriors, their championship aspirations, whether there's actually value on a team that's minus 250. LeBron and the Lakers, outside of the playoff picture looking in. Gabe, you have an opinion on whether the Lakers will make the playoffs or not?
I think they will. I'm from California. I'm a die-easy Lakers fan, okay. I would say. I'm confident LeBron post-All-Star break.
Where in Cali?
The Bay Area.
Okay, I'm from L.A., California. So I'm a die-hard, not a die-easy Lakers fan. We'll talk about that, and I'm bullish on the Lakers making the playoffs. Not huge, but I agree with you. I think they do. So we'll get into that with ER and Preston, and also just talk about some value teams in the second half and even teams to maybe fade as the tanking ramps up. And we're going to talk about the point spread and the perception of teams that are tanking and whether there's value taking and gobbling up all those points or whether you just continue to lay the big numbers given one team has a little bit more incentive in these games. So a lot to get through, about an hour podcast. Good stuff with both ER and Preston coming up.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Gentlemen, good to have you both on. I'm in withdrawal. I don't know about you guys. It feels like forever there's been NBA action on. I know there was some action. Preston, you were very involved in the over on Sunday night in the All-Star game, but this extended break has me jonesing for some NBA content. So I figured it made a lot of sense to digest the first half of the season. We're post-trade deadline. A lot of interesting props out there. And ER, you and I were talking yesterday about the Lakers, the yes-no prop, in terms of whether or not they'll miss the playoffs. And I think it sounds like you think they will make the playoffs, and that's where I stand. Where do you stand on things?
Yes, I do think they will. I was a little bit surprised. I think they put that prop up, at least at a pick'em. At least that seemed like that was the first time I saw it. And it seemed like it was taking a couple of hits on the Lakers to not make the playoff. Last I looked, that prop was now minus 140 to the no. On that. And, you know, I guess in very simple terms, I mean, it's just you are kind of obviously you're betting against LeBron to make the playoffs and be able to, you know, bring his team level up to play. And it's just hard to envision that, especially when you go back to playoff LeBron, because he is certainly someone that can turn around. I mean, I think easily the last couple of years, I didn't think Cleveland had any chance of advancing through the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And sure enough, once they got to the playoffs, LeBron James is a different player, different team, and he's able to get them to a higher level. Now, so I still think there's that there. And you just look at the very simple numbers. The Lakers are 6-12, 6 wins, 12 losses without LeBron. 22-17 with him, playing 56% basketball. Certainly you can throw out there's some unrest where this team, the current team, is actually headed or where they'll be in the off season. But something else that I think you can look at is right now the Clippers are currently in the eighth seed. They recently traded one of their better players in Tobias Harris. I don't think there's a real urgency at this point for the Clippers to make the playoffs. The Sacramento Kings are the ninth seed ahead of the Lakers by 2 games. Sacramento, to me, when they added Harrison Barnes and Alec Burks, if anything, that team got worse. You know, those trades didn't make any sense to me whatsoever. For me, it's just play these young guys. And I do, you know, you do have to understand that they want to get into the playoffs. But to me, the Lakers are still the better team. So, you know, to hop two of those teams, I don't think it's that much to ask for. So, yeah, even though they're three games behind the Clippers right now, I think the Lakers can still get in the playoffs here.
Yeah, it's an interesting prop because Westgate actually opened pick, like Aaron mentioned, and then I believe they lost to the Hawks, and they reopened it at plus 120 to the yes, make the playoffs, and no was minus 140. And then since then, I mean, there's all this kind of, oh, LeBron at plus money to make the playoffs money, and it's moved down to plus 105 that they make the playoffs, minus 125 at the no. And so yesterday, I know Doug and I, we were talking a little bit, but I actually projected this out. I used all my numbers and data that I have to this point in the season, and it came out, I was a little bit shocked that I still showed value on the no, but it came out to the Lakers making the playoffs 42% of the time, which equates to about plus 138. So for people, I guess that I got to preface it with this, that I'm using the NBA is such a high variance league post All-Star break. There's guys obviously that can get hurt, but there's so many guys resting here and there, coaches doing this and that, and there's the teams that inevitably tank. And so the market adjusts as the next two and a half months play out. But my numbers as of now have the Lakers only making it 42% of the time. So at minus 125, it ends up being about 55.5% that they don't make it, and minus 58%. So I have like a 2.42 percentage, which is a little, I mean, maybe it's worth a little bit, but again, I'm probably not as confident in projecting out 2.5 months of an NBA season post All-Star break than I would be using my numbers, you know, to bet this weekend. But it is interesting to see that, you know, despite the Clippers making trades, I thought that was a great point. Like, just looking at it kind of eye test, oh, the Clippers aren't going to try. They're going to tank. The Kings added Harrison Barnes. They're obviously going to be trying to make this playoff push. The T-Wolves are only a game back from the Lakers, but you'd think the Lakers are going to be there. And honestly, you know, the Kings data is just as average, I should say. They're both, you know, minus 1.2 points per game differential for both teams. And Lonzo Ball defensively has made such a massive difference for the Lakers in those numbers, you know, defensively. So if he's not back or healthy for a couple weeks, I think that's going to be a big deal. You know, LeBron can only do so much. So for me, I had to lean to the no. I probably need a, you know, a little bigger edge or maybe an updated line in a week or so before I jumped in and, you know, went to Westgate to make a bet.
Yeah, I think the unrest is interesting to discuss because of the trade deadline passing. I mean, we saw a different team in theory against the Celtics than we did the previous game. I mean, we've seen this with LeBron in the past. Last year, they were a complete mess going into the trade deadline. Then he hits the game winner, doesn't celebrate with Isaiah Thomas, who then gets traded. I'll believe it when I see it. And it's kind of like riding a win streak, right? Like, you can bet against it and lose many times, but when you bet on it, you can only be wrong once. So I'm going to bet that LeBron finds a way to get into the playoffs. I just do, and you mentioned it, ER, in terms of playoff LeBron. And the Lonzo Ball thing is big, but I don't think the Spurs are guaranteed to get in either. They're the 7 seed right now, and that would be, you know, so there's another team in the mix that could slip out, although they do have a 4-game lead over the Lakers. But I would bet the yes on LeBron.
Would you rather bet on LeBron to make the playoffs or Popovich to make the playoffs?
Well, that's the thing. It's the irony is that I'll believe it when I see it also applies to the Spurs. But they've changed so much and had injuries. I would say going into the season, I would have said the Lakers. But
for sure, yeah.
But given a 4-game edge, I would have to take the Spurs. But what the Lakers' record with LeBron, I mean, this is a team, I mean, again, it's one game, but looked really good against the Warriors on Christmas Day. He's playing himself back into shape, as Windhorst reported. He was, what, at like 280 that they were saying because he wasn't 100% with the cardio. So there is a little bit of when he's clicking, this team's going to be a lot better in theory. Now, they have a hill to climb, and that's why there's odds against it. But I feel like the Lakers, assuming health, that's the other variable, assuming health the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, again, I understand Preston's numbers, and I would, you know, you have to gravitate and understand the numbers to a certain extent, but, you know, LeBron hasn't had a lot around him in the playoffs the last couple of years with Cleveland, and certainly if you looked at his record in the playoffs, it's going to be better than, I would say, the 56% that they've shown with LeBron and the Lakers this year. And I was going to throw the Spurs out there as well, but yeah, it's hard to make a real strong argument with that. But yeah, they've for whatever reason they've had a lot of issues here as well. So yeah, I'm still at the stage where I'll bet LeBron to will his team to get some wins and get in the playoffs.
Okay, so let's talk about elsewhere in the West with the Warriors atop. So even after all this, like regression, complacency, Warriors are still 41-16. And I got to be honest, I didn't think Boogie would be this good. I just thought the Achilles injury, the history of Achilles injuries, and I mean the upgrade of like. So I don't know. Earlier in the season, we had John Murray on the podcast, and I said I would take the field over the Warriors. Not on a bet, because I wouldn't bet it, because I think the line was about right in a yes-no, but I just felt like the Warriors were more vulnerable than I thought that people realized. And that was because of their depth and a lack of. I felt Iguodala was getting old. I felt Kevon Looney was pretty clumsy around the rim, and they just didn't have the pieces that I thought they needed like they had David West in years past, although Livingston's still there. But then they upgrade from Looney to Boogie in this version of Boogie, and I'm like, all right, this thing's a wrap. And I wanted to see what your guys' take was on just the future market with the Warriors at -250. I mean, ER, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's about where they need to be. I mean, it's just hard to envision any of these other teams stepping up and beating Golden State in a seven-game series. Now, I think there's still a couple of things with Golden State. And, you know, Cousins to me is certainly a very talented guy. He's been in a really bad organization with Sacramento. Wasn't exactly a great fit for him in New Orleans as well. I saw New Orleans actually improve when Boogie was hurt at a certain point last year. But he's you can't deny how talented he is for a big man, how good he is, and what a difference he can make. And when you put a player like that, finally, with one of the best organizations in the NBA, well coached, good players around him, you know, you have a chance to thrive. Now, I'll say this about the Warriors, you know, they still have to, at some point in the playoffs, I would assume take a punch or two, and how they'll respond to that with Cousins, with any kind of a rift that's gone on this team already. It will be interesting to see how they'll respond. I would say they're probably a little bit, you know, maybe on a little bit thinner ice at times from a chemistry standpoint than they've been in years past. And then, you know, on the other side of that, it's just hard. Again, you know, Denver's not going to step up and beat Golden State. We saw Golden State beat them by 30 on their home court when they wanted to. Oklahoma City's somewhat able to. I mean, they could probably beat them a couple of games. They can be, you know, game plan for, et cetera. Portland's not going to beat them. You know, Utah doesn't look like they have it. None of these other teams, you know, with the exception of the Houston Rockets. And, you know, where their best game is compared to last year, I just haven't quite seen it consistently this year. You know, so we'll see if Houston can get healthy, if they can, more so just their health. They haven't really been able to add to that roster. But it's Houston's the only team that could I could see pushing this team in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I think at -250, well, it's interesting. That actually, it implies about a 71% chance that they win it all, which I think most people would, if you just asked, hey, what are the odds that Golden State wins the NBA championship, they would say, oh, 80 to 90%, assuming that they're healthy, right? But accounting for their health is a thing, because the last two seasons, and 2 years especially, 2 years ago, I think it was Steph Curry got hurt late February or early March, and their odds dropped from a similar number, is about -200 to pick. It was -120, -125, and I actually went and bet them at that point, just because I was, you know, banking on the fact that Steph would be at least healthy enough that they could, you know, get. And they were coming off of the losing and blowing the 3-1 lead to the Cavs, and so it just kind of all lined up. I thought there's no way they're going to lose this unless, you know, one more injury happens. And so if an injury happens, what I'm getting at, it's probably not really necessary to lay -250 right now, because it'll be a very similar price come playoff time. And so at the very worst, you can maybe get -250 in 2 months. But if there's an injury, then this might come down and you have an opportunity to get the Warriors at a cheaper price. When it's actually all said and done, I think the team that's closest is probably Oklahoma City. just from an X's and O's or matchup standpoint. You know, last year what gave Golden State fits against Houston, outside of the fact that James Harden's really, really good at basketball, is the defensive length and just the versatility there. Oklahoma City kind of has on their end now. Nerlens Noel's played really well. They have Steven Adams, who's given Golden State himself when KD was back on the Thunder a few years back, gave him issues. And then they have guys that they can just throw around on the wing. And then Paul George is playing at almost a Harden-esque level. So I think Oklahoma City's probably the team I'd pick. Houston's just not as good. Or, you know, they lost guys like Trevor Ariza, Mamba Mute from last year's team. And so I'd say OKC has the best shot. And maybe just because Brad Stevens is a guy, and I know we're going to get to the Eastern Conference, maybe the Celtics, if that ended up being, you know, the title matchup in the finals. But for me, at minus 250, it's honestly probably a little low, assuming the Warriors are healthy. But if they have one injury to Steph or KD for a while, that's going to drop down. One thing real quick, one narrative I wanted to mention, it's going to become a thing the next few weeks. But they're undefeated with the starting kind of quote-unquote all-star five with DeMarcus Cousins at center. There was one game they lost when he started at center because Klay Thompson was out. That was to the Sixers, kind of near that all-star break. But I think they're 9-0 now when all five make the star. So that's something to watch. And their net ratings, like almost plus 14, which in comparison on the season, they're plus 7. The Bucks lead the NBA, they're almost plus 10. So plus 14 is a pretty ridiculous number. So if those five are healthy, I mean, it's really hard to see anyone else beating them ultimately.
Yeah, I mean, small sample size, but you're right. They've been so strong. And I agree that although Houston will get Capella back soon, this is not the same as the Rockets team a year ago. I was going to say that the interesting thing about this is for the first time in a while, like, you know, since the Kyrie Cavs team, like, their stiffest competition will be in the East, because I don't trust anyone in the West. I agree that OKC is their biggest threat because of all the length, whether it be Grant, Ferguson, all those guys, they can do the switching and pose issues. And then there's a chance Westbrook could go off in a couple games. I mean, I don't trust his shooting, but there's a chance because he has that switch and that edge. So when you have those guys like Ferguson and Grant and Steven Adams, and then a Paul George could be the best player on the court in three of the seven games, and maybe Westbrook is the one other, because that's what has to happen to a certain extent, right? Like, you need to catch them on an off night and then have a guy like Paul George or Westbrook outplay anyone on the Warriors.
Yeah, George is one of the top five players in the league. I mean, he is that good. He's a difference maker. I mean, they still, you know, certainly with what Golden State's going to be able to put out there, they're going to be certainly a player and a half short. As Preston said, how Golden State's going to fare here the rest of the season, it's going to be interesting because they do have some key matchups here right out of the All-Star break. I mean, their schedule has been super cush. They haven't had to really play any back-to-backs. We saw them finally have to play a back-to-back against Portland the night before, the Wednesday before the All-Star break. They got beat 129-107. In that game, but the schedule has been super light for this team here of late. They host the Rockets on Saturday, February 23rd. Then they play actually a lot of road games, including a trip to Philadelphia on March the 2nd. Then they come back home. They got another game against Boston, Denver. So another game at Houston on March 13th, at Oklahoma City March 16th. So, to me, the schedule is going to get a little bit tougher, so we'll see. But, you know, at the same time, you know, this Warriors team is not exactly going to be having the pedal to the metal in the regular season. It's kind of amazing all the talent that this team has. You know, last year in the regular season, the third worst against the spread team. And right now, once again this year, the third worst against the spread team in the NBA in the regular season.
Well, that's exactly where I was going to go next, ER, so I appreciate you're mentioning that. Now, in our database, they are tied for fourth worst, so it could be like one push here and there. But I have them at 24, 31, and 2. And what's interesting is, like, the four teams either tied with them or worse are all terrible. So Suns, Knicks, excuse me, I skipped the Lakers, not terrible. But Lakers is the LeBron effect, as we saw last year with the Cavs. But the Cavs this year also terrible against the spread. So that's really interesting to me. So moving forward, as we turn the page, so we talked sort of macro with the Warriors and the LeBron and the Lakers. I'm talking about individual teams. Let's focus on the bottom. You know, as we say, and there's a market correction to everything in sports betting, right? Like, no power ratings are set in stone. Point spreads always adjust, certainly with betting behavior throughout the course of the season. So, but the Warriors and LeBron, like, over the last few years, there hasn't been market correction. because of the perception of the public. And you talk to odds makers, they're like, yeah, they're inflated, but if people are going to keep betting them at 3-to-1 ratio, then I don't need to offer true odds in terms of a point spread. So what's to stop us from just fading the Lakers and Warriors the rest of the way?
No, that's it's a good point, Doug. It's hard to make exactly what of it. Obviously, these teams have not, it's these, I guess, a little bit older, veteran NBA players. It's kind of funny because a team like Houston has been kind of the opposite, where they've ridden, James Harden, obviously, this year as much as possible. Not as much last year, but certainly the year before that. Didn't have a lot left in the playoffs. So I think there's something real to that with Golden State. And maybe in some of the games that I just mentioned, the marquee matchups, maybe you will see more of a sense of urgency and have them favored by a good double digits against some of these other teams and perform less against the spread. Just their last couple of games here before the break, they're favored big over the Lakers, Phoenix, Miami, Utah. They win those games, but they don't cover the spread. Seems like there's more instances of that. So certainly with a team like Golden State, I think you have that. It's going to be a little bit different now, I think, with LeBron James. As I don't know what kind of tax you could have on that team with the Lakers. We just talked about how they're priced and whether they're going to make the playoffs or not, because, and you also have to remember, the Lakers and LeBron are going to be pretty much have to be all out and play well in just about every game to make the playoffs. So a little bit different scenario. But, yeah, I'll be fascinated to see how Golden State's going to perform here the rest of the season and probably more so against the spread.
Yeah, for me, I can't necessarily just kind of make a generalization and say, hey, the Lakers or the Warriors are going to be a team to either back regularly or fade regularly. It's going to vary game to game based on the market and the number and the price and everything. But one thing that's been prevalent the last few seasons, just with all the tanking, and it just gets worse and worse. Now, granted, they changed the lottery odds for this season. Maybe it's a little bit less bad as it has been in the past. But, even a team like the Sixers last year rolled off 20 or 21 in a row. Maybe it was 22 in a row last season. When there's teams that are just that bad playing that poorly against teams that are trying to win, which obviously the Warriors are vying for number one seed. They have a 2-game lead over Denver currently. Lakers are going to be trying to just make a playoff push, hopefully with an engaged LeBron James. I would not be really fading those teams against almost a third of the league, right? Just because there's going to be some inevitable tanking happening / guys resting last second right before tip, and I just don't think I could actually do it. If anything, I'd be looking to maybe back these teams, and even a Warriors squad that they need to still integrate DeMarcus Cousins. It's only been, I think, 9 games. He's played in 11, 2 off the bench originally, I think up front, and then he started 9. So I would think that they're going to be giving it their all. They know they need the one seed, and they know DeMarcus Cousins needs some reps with the starters and everything. Maybe the last couple games of the year they start resting guys if they have the one seed locked up. But I definitely actually would be kind of looking the other way, at least for the Warriors. And then it's going to be dependent, obviously, on the Lakers' health and in their prices game to game.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I wrote a piece, I believe it was last year, and I plan on writing another one in terms of the tanking teams. And my overall impression, talking to whether it be odds makers or bettors, is that the value's on the dog because of the perception and the inflated lines. Whereas, these tanking teams, we can all agree that the players aren't, throwing the ball out of bounds, shaving points. It's the lineups and some of the better players sitting. But they're already, double-digit dogs. So it's not and they just need to lose for tanking, right? So when you're getting an extra couple points, and then there's an inevitable, you're right, LeBron will be engaged, the team will be trying, but there's inevitable flatness when you're facing a team that's as bad as the Knicks or the Suns, that I don't know, man. I still see there's value on those ugly dogs when you're getting to the double digit situation, even when a team like the Lakers is fighting for the playoffs.
It hasn't played out that way at all, Doug. In fact, it's been insane how good the really big favorites in the NBA have done. You go back to the start of, not this year, but even last year, and the trend is unbelievable. And it's hard to fathom how high the number is, but in my database, again, and you have to probably differentiate some of the things here, but Doug, 12-point favorites or more just since the start of this season, are 52-16 against the spread, which is, it's really hard to kind of contemplate how high that number is. And it really hasn't changed. It's been strong in January. It's been strong in February. And, you know, for veteran bettors and guys that have bet, it's not easy to lay those type of points, but that's a true trend. And it even goes back even further.
Yeah, I'll just jump in and mention one point. I think the best analogy, if people are familiar with college football and what Chip Kelly did in speeding up offenses, and he realized, you know, if we have an advantage over the other team and we play faster, you know, we're X amount of points better per play. And so if we run 20 more plays a game, we're going to be that much better than the bad teams we play. And so all the teams now are running up-tempo, and the NBA kind of adopted a similar strategy where the pace of play now in the NBA, there's so many possessions. And so these really good teams getting extra possessions and plays every game against weaker competition or disaster competition like the Knicks or Cavs or Suns, you know, some of these games, like even the Warriors, they won a game the other day like 142-100. That's just going to happen occasionally, but I wouldn't have expected the number against the spread to have been that high. That's pretty nuts in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that is remarkable. I'm surprised it is that high. I'm surprised there's been that many situations this year. Now, ER, was that this year or the beginning of last year?
That goes back to the start of the season this year.
Wow.
And again, even if you go back to last year, I mean, probably it really started to swing like last January. And I've been talking about it a little bit the last couple of months. And like I say, you expect it to start to swing a little bit the other way. And as you mentioned, you expect maybe the Knicks or one of these teams, because they are catching so many points, to perhaps have some value. And it just doesn't happen. Like I said, I throw it out like in my database, 11.5, so maybe it changes at that. But I mean, even Doug, since the first of the year, that trend is 22-6 against, and that's against the spread. You know, that's not
right. That's just, you know, baffling more than anything. What's your reaction to that, Preston?
Well, I mean, I kind of initially, you know, that was my lean just from a grand scope on, you know, do we fade or back teams like the Warriors or Lakers or whoever it may be. You know, it's really basic to say, but like the tanking thing is real. That's why the NBA implemented new rules for lottery percentages. It was kind of ruining the game, ruining the league post All-Star break. And so it's really nothing more than that, where these teams, and like you said, they're not like throwing the ball out of bounds on purpose. They're not airballing free throws on purpose, but the lineups that the coaches and management and front office are putting out there on a night-to-night basis are, you know, so inferior to these teams, even a team like the Lakers and LeBron, or obviously the Warriors, that I'm not shocked by that trend, or at least what we've seen. And so hopefully maybe it changes to some degree with the new lottery rules. But I think it's as basic as that, man. Like the tanking stuff has just been so bad for a couple seasons in a row. And then there's more possessions every game, so these good teams are just winning by even more points. And I think it's just kind of all connected.
Yeah, like, you know, I'll give you this example, Doug. So, you know, the Warriors are 24-32 roughly against the spread on the year. But as a 12-point favorite or more, they're actually 9-2 against the spread. So obviously you can take away that differential. It's kind of amazing, but yeah, it's against, for the most part, Golden State is obviously so high power rated, they're going to be big favorites against some better teams now at this point. But a lot of it is, if you go through their schedule, it's games against the Knicks, the Bulls, the Grizzlies, the Suns, that they've just been able to dominate. And that's been that way, throughout the league. You know, a team like the Phoenix Suns, you know, I bet them a couple of times in what I thought was favorable spots and stuff like that. It just, they're so bad, it just hasn't played out that way. Because it's, you know, it's a bad organization from ownership down to the players. And it's just, these teams are just non-competitive. So,
look, it's fascinating because of what you said. I just love how you said it. It's so hard for pro bettors and people who, you know, do it for a living to just lay the double digits in the NBA, to a point where I have prefer like the first quarter. So to Preston's point, I understand that the higher volume, you're going to be that much better over an extended period of time. But then you get this, like, the nonsense at the end of games. I think once the spread gets up to 12, it's not as pronounced. But it's that 4, 5, 6, 7 range that can be really frustrating. But again, you want higher volume sample size. Now, I mentioned the bottom of the ATS records. Now, at the top are the Bucks at 35-20-2 against the spread, 64%. Mavs, Kings, Thunder, and my Brooklyn Nets, as I been loving them, and it's got your guy D'Angelo Russell there, Preston.
That's right.
So, ER, you and I were talking yesterday, and you said, I know you've been back, and you always look to back the Mavs, like all season you've been looking to back the Mavs, but you said there might be some value against them. You think there's going to be market correction there, huh?
I do. You know, the Mavs have, it's a little bit sneaky to exactly find in the numbers how Dallas has been able to do this, because they're 26-31 straight up, let alone 34-22 against the spread with one push at the numbers that I'm looking at here. But they've just done enough of the little things so much better this year compared to recent seasons that they've been very good against the spread. But now with the trade deadline, the trade for Porzingis, you know, this team is clearly looking forward to 2 or 3 years down the line. In fact, I think Dallas will be one of the premier teams in the NBA in a couple of years. But so I don't think you will see a real sense of urgency from this team the rest of the season. I don't think you're going to see this team really fight to make the playoffs. I certainly could be wrong with that. So I think they are a team that you look to kind of bet against. And, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned certainly the Bucks, who have been the best against the spread team. I've had them power rated sky high all season. I've bet them in a number of games, and even some of the games I'll be like, man, this just seems like a crazy number to be laying here, but it's in my numbers, and I bet them, and yeah, it's cash tickets. But, you know, the Bucks here are number one against the spread. Oklahoma City is about number four. I agree, Brooklyn, to me, almost feels like they should be a better against the spread team than they are. Because they just have that undervalued type of sense to them. You know, when LeVert went out way back when in the fall, that's when they stumbled, or maybe it was December when they had their issues. But I'll say this about the Bucks at Oklahoma City. Some of the numbers with them. So this season, you know, the Bucks are essentially 8 in offensive efficiency. They're all the way up to number 1 in defensive efficiency. Oklahoma City is 15th in offensive efficiency and 4th in defensive efficiency. And ironically, last year, both Milwaukee and Oklahoma City were underachievers against the spread. The Bucks were 34-43 against the spread. Oklahoma City was actually 34-47 against the spread. Now, last year, the Bucks were about the same team offensively. They were 9th in offensive efficiency. But last year they were 21st in defensive efficiency. So that's where they have definitely made up ground this year, 20 spots in defensive efficiency. Oklahoma City, it's a little bit different. Last year they were better offensively. They were 7th. Again, this year they're 15th. But last year they were not as strong defensively. So if anything, you could say that defensively those teams have certainly been undervalued this year. And one of those, you know, certainly to me with Milwaukee, they're just so much better coached this year. Their offensive system is just spectacular. But I remember defense and reading some articles about them in the preseason and just watching them play early on in the campaign. You know, the Bucks have been a kind of a foul-heavy, aggressive defensive team the last couple of years. Last year they finished they were 5th worst in the NBA. They allowed 23.5 free throw attempts per game. This year they're 27th. Free throws are up a little bit, but they've only allowed 20.7 free throws a game. And again, going back to the preseason, I had read how they just did drill after drill as far as just keeping their feet in front of the opposition and essentially playing defense with their hands behind their back. And again, just good coaching has brought this team up to a different level defensively. And if you can pick up on things like that, you can make a lot of money with the team. And, you know, the Bucks, it'll be intriguing to see how they're going to perform the rest of the year against the spread. You would think the number would eventually catch up to them. But as we've talked about and Preston mentioned, against some of these lesser teams. Again, they got some games. I guess I'm not positive on their schedule, but I would assume against teams like Cleveland and Chicago still on their schedule.
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from this, and it's something, Doug, when we did the preseason podcast talking over season win totals, I mean, you and I could have probably predicted, if we were to guess the two teams that had the best ATS record, at least to this point in the season, we would have said the Bucks for sure. And I think the Mavs would have been at least near the top of our list.
Yep.
And we talked about it on that podcast. We talked about the hiring of Haralambos Vulgaris, who was a professional basketball bettor for a long time. The Mavs integrating him. Mark Cuban actually hired him to do some analysis for the team. He works directly with them, and we said, you know, they're going to maximize every advantage and every edge they have, whether it be via rotations and just the guys they play efficiency-wise versus guys that they were playing previously. And it obviously helps that Luka Doncic is really good at basketball too. But they, I mean, it goes to show, my biggest takeaway is how much a coach can make a difference. For the Bucks case, where, like Aaron said, they were way under 500 against the spread last year with Jason Kidd, and I think it was Joe Prunty was the interim head coach. Then getting a guy like Budenholzer, who swings them to the best team in the NBA, you know, at least point differential-wise, number one defense, you know, that's basically very similar personnel. It's basically a coaching thing. And obviously Giannis has probably taken a little step forward too. But then and then you have a guy like an analytics department here with the Mavs. And granted, you're right before the trade deadline, they're looking the other direction. So this is the one that intrigues me the most, because they actually send off Wes Matthews and DeAndre Jordan, Dennis Smith Jr., some of the guys that were pretty good, you know, average to slightly above average NBA players. And now guys, I mean, even Dirk coming off the bench playing 15 minutes a game, Jalen Brunson's getting a lot of time, Maxi Kleber, Devin Harris, Ryan Brokoff, Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, and even they've been bringing a really big and inefficiency guy in Tim Hardaway Jr., who's taking a ton of shots. And in my opinion, when Luka Doncic wraps up Rookie of the Year in about a month, maybe 5-6 weeks, he's going to mysteriously have an ankle injury for the last month of the year. He'll make sure he still wins Rookie of the Year, and then, you know, he'll be out. And so they're looking the other way, not necessarily an intentional tank, kind of goes like what we were talking about. They just have a bunch of names of guys that just aren't very good. And so I would look at them being a team that would not keep up this at least rate of covering spreads. I would, if I had to guess now and just bet over or under 50% against the spread for Dallas blind the rest of the way, I would bet under.
Makes sense. And I like the mysterious ankle injury. As for the Bucks, I think the analogy I've used maybe on the podcast, but not if not just talking to you guys, is it's kind of like the Rockets last year. They got Chris Paul. There was just like excitement, kind of a shot in the arm. They were hungry, and they just treated the regular season very seriously. Whereas we're seeing that with the Bucks, and I think the new shot in the arm is like the new offense, the new coaching, and they're just kind of got that bounce in their step. And you see what the Rockets do this year, they're just not as excited. And obviously injuries have taken their toll, and you know, some of the moving pieces, like we mentioned, Ariza. But it's always sort of, you got to be able to sniff that out. All right, much more NBA talk with ER and Preston coming up. But first, a word from one of our sponsors. Now, moving forward to the second half, I'll never forget a couple years ago, the Blazers just absolutely waxed the Warriors the first game after the All-Star break. I think it was when Damian Lillard got snubbed in the All-Star game, and it was in Portland. And, you know, Golden State had like, you know, 4 days of just celebration of the Warriors. It was all Steph and all this. And I think this was pre-KD, too. And they just got blitzed in Portland. I think it was Thursday night. Anything like that coming out of the gates here in the second half where maybe a good spot? We have 6 games on Thursday, so extended break. And no one quite has a chip on their shoulder like Damian Lillard. So we probably won't get that this year, because unfortunately he made the team, because he does play on Thursday. It'd be nice if he got snubbed and we had that. But anything like that you're looking out of the gates, maybe LeBron still out of shape kind of thing, Rockets sort of restored order, maybe hungry because they play in L.A. on Thursday night. So anything like that, or maybe even on Friday, that you're waiting in the weeds for?
So, I mean, I actually did make one bet, not directly towards, I think, where Doug is getting at, but Westgate actually opened the Thursday NBA lines, I think it was 2 nights ago, like Monday night, and no one else had them up, but Houston was -1 in LA. And then the Capella news broke yesterday, so I hurried and grabbed as the only -1 that existed. And you know, that's up to 3.5 now offshore. It's 3 at Westgate. So that just moved just for the sake, I think, of the Capella news and the fact that the Lakers just haven't been playing well. But I kind of actually like, I'm going to play back on it. So I'll have -1 and maybe +4 or something, maybe just +3.5. But I kind of like the Lakers to regroup after this long layoff. That whole Anthony Davis saga was, I mean, it was a mess. And they played like it outside of that Celtics game right after the deadline up until that All-Star break. But, I mean, 7-8 days off or whatever it'll end up being, I think that can only be a positive. They're going to be getting points at home against a Houston team that's now trying to integrate 80% Capella back into the lineup with Fareed and some new additions. They got Amon Shumpert, I believe. And so I kind of like the Lakers side, actually, to be honest, Thursday night, especially getting a 3.5 or potentially a 4 if it keeps climbing.
What about the, you mentioned Anthony Davis, the Pelicans mess in their own right, not just the Lakers and maybe even the Celtics affected by the trade rumors. Like, what do we make of this Pelicans squad? They had the GM change, a little bit of dysfunction. They had a nice win at the end of the All-Star break with Anthony Davis going to check in on the MRI. Like, what can we deduce? Is this? I think it's a wait and see. I was wondering what your guys' opinions are.
Well, Doug, you know, like we talked about, the point spread is always the great equalizer.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, New Orleans seemed to, with Holiday kind of leading them, they continued to play pretty hard when Anthony Davis had missed those games, and they were very competitive. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I would assume they're at least 500 against the spread. There's no question about it. This organization seems to be in flux, but they've been able to kind of keep it together and play competitive basketball, certainly overachieved because I think everybody expected them to play poorly. There was a couple of games that I had circled outside the break. The Brooklyn Nets, the team that you kind of mentioned, alluded to, they actually are going to be hosting Portland. Lillard's actually questionable for that game, kind of downgrade. We'll see how that works out. But Brooklyn, a team that I'm going to continue to look to bet. Their depth, they're just really built to play well in the regular season. Portland perhaps bounces off that game. So that was one of the games that I had circled for Thursday night.
And by the way, they're 28-30 against the spread are the Pelicans, 28-30-1. But again, I don't have the breakdown of when Davis plays or not. So you're around 500 there. I did crunch our database while we've been talking. Double-digit favorites, so just 10 and above, 82, 62, and 2. So pretty solid win percentage there. And basically had the same numbers you did on the 12 and over. Like we said, there's small differences, but that's certainly surprising. No doubt about that. So, but the spreads will go up. The spreads will go up as the tanking allegations increase as we approach sort of the close of the season. I'm going to be fascinated, though. I think you may have helped produce one of our articles for ESPN Chalk, so I appreciate that, guys.
There you go. Well, real quick, I'll mention one thing, Doug, because I don't think your point's necessarily incorrect to at least consider. You know, people need to remember that you're betting these games based on what the number is that day, or, you know, if they play the next day. And so you're right. There may be a game where the Warriors should be laying 15.5 and it's 17.5. And, you know, you don't really want to be laying 17.5 just because on the Warriors, because they're playing a quote-unquote tanking team. So everything's very relative to where the market is and what your numbers should be. And so it's really good for people that are out there, I mean, listening and trying to bet on a regular basis. You need to have at least some sort of relative idea of where the number should be, and then account for the fact that, okay, there's going to be some lineup adjustments. The Mavs are resting, you know, Luka this game or whatever, and how does that factor in, you know, the Suns are definitely tanking. How does that factor in? But you're not necessarily wrong. I mean, we'll probably see – I mean, if I had to guess, we might see a 20-point spread at some point this year. You have to look at everyone's schedules. But if you got, you know, Warriors at home against the Knicks or Cavs, maybe 19 or 20, which, to your point, I mean, that's hard not to play the plus 19 or plus 20 just out of principle.
Well, yeah, and also it's not always the tanking teams, right? So I was speaking specifically to tanking and something I wrote about last year. So we'll see what happens in the spring and the inflated lines. But, like, coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, Golden State's laying 13 to Sacramento. Kings not tanking. I know last week, I think it was, the Bucks were laying like 12 or 13 to the Wizards, although they're depleted. They're not quote-unquote tanking, right? I don't think, just yet at least. So a lot of times they're just big spreads with teams. It's going to be interesting to see those, that those teams really vying that bottom tier, like the Knicks, Suns, maybe the Hawks, although they play hard and they're sneaky good now that John Collins has returned. When they all are healthy, they're sneaky respectable. So it's going to be interesting to see how that, like, shakes out. The Bulls are terrible. Obviously, the Cavs are. and uh-huh. Memphis is headed in that direction. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. I'm going to definitely try to like chart quote-unquote tanking teams and how they did the last couple months. ER, I cut you off there.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to bring in, I got some numbers here on New Orleans Davis. And again, like I said, the point spread is the great equalizer, and it's the numbers are kind of fascinating that way. The nine games that Anthony Davis recently missed, New Orleans was a 3-6 straight up, but 7-2 against the spread. So they were outperforming expectations against the spread. Again, they were just kind of playing tight, very competitive. 7-2, and then Davis comes back, 0-3 against the spread, and they had that final game against Oklahoma City where they win. Of course, Davis goes out with injury, and they go on to win that game and to cover the spread. So however you want to equate that. So it's, yeah, welcome to the world of betting where, you know, it seems, you know, the superstar angle is just kind of interesting in the NBA today.
I think Drew Holiday is one of the most underrated players in the NBA. He's so good. It's defensively, he's top three wing defender in the NBA. And then when he was the guy running those games with Davis out, their offense flowed great. It was fantastic. So if you haven't watched Drew Holiday play and you have a reason to watch the Pelicans when Davis is out in the next 2 months, it's worth watching.
And I know I get accused of playing amateur psychologist, and Preston, you tease me about believing some of these trends, but like I do believe in a team game like this, like the trickle down effect. Like I think when like a guy like Drew Holiday, your leader, so quote unquote, is busting his tail and playing a certain way.
Sure.
I do believe that permeates. Like I just do, and I believe in this. So I don't know. Like I try to always put myself in these locker rooms, having played sports, things along those lines. Like yes, the motivation thing is really hard to handicap, but I think that's maybe why I like betting the NBA more than any other sport, because it's the most challenging to forecast, and I like the stimulation of trying to forecast it.
Absolutely.
So I'll leave you guys with this. A lot of trades, obviously. The Eastern Conference, so intriguing. I think everyone is jonesing for that second round of the playoffs, assuming the Pacers slip down and you get the Celtics, Sixers, Raptors, Bucks. How would you guys, like not necessarily against the spread, but the rest of the way, what would you predict as will be the top four seeds in the East? And then if you had to pick teams to come out of the East, what would your projections be? So I would pick... To finish 1-4, my prediction would be Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, and Sixers. So kind of like how they currently are without the Pacers. But I think the Raptors are the favorites in my world to come out of the East over the Bucks, and I have the Sixers fourth. I think just think that there's something, although Butler's going to help, I just think there's something off there with some of those guys. And I think the Celtics do figure it out, but they're only like my three seed in my eye. So like, it is interesting to see how it all plays out. So, Preston, if you had to predict the top four seeds in the East, who would you go with?
Yeah, the top four seeds, I envision the Celtics and Sixers eventually passing the Pacers, although the Pacers have always played pretty well all year. Even when Oladipo was out early in the season, they had really good numbers without him, and they've played fine since. They added Wes Matthews as a buyout option to help with their depth. But Boston and Philadelphia are better teams, so I imagine they'll get there. I put money on the Raptors after the Marc Gasol signing. It was interesting. The day before, the Sixers were about plus 600 to win the East. They got the Tobias Harris trade. And at the time, the Raptors were plus 160 to plus 180 to win the East. But after Tobias Harris and everyone betting the Sixers down to like the plus 225 range, it ended up pushing the Raptors up, you know, anywhere from 225 to 275. And I think the Raptors still overall, I know the Bucks story of this season has been phenomenal. We talked about them and Budenholzer and what he's done. But the Raptors still, you know, they've been the best team in the East for a couple seasons in a row. They couldn't beat LeBron in the playoffs. LeBron's not in the East anymore. They added Kawhi Leonard. Pascal Siakam is one of the most improved players in the NBA. He probably is the most improved.
Oh, yeah, he's going to lock that up.
Like, Marcus is still so good at basketball still. Whether he's coming off the bench or going to end up starting for Ibaka, he's been coming off the bench, you know, before the All-Star break. They're the team I still think gets it, and they're only a game out from Milwaukee anyways. Getting that number one seed and having home court maybe potentially through the entire Eastern Conference playoffs. So they're my pick to come out, especially at the price. And, you know, I'd probably say if I had to pick a second one, just because Brad Stevens so good in matchups and just, you know, getting every ounce of value and edge and advantage in every game from every matchup, if I had to pick a second team next, I'd say Boston. So I'd go Toronto, Boston as far as like the Eastern Conference Finals. And then, you know, the Bucks, you know, would be third, both, you know, my next team in if I had to pick.
ER, let me interrupt you as we are live breaking news here. Joel Embiid will be reevaluated in 1 week, experiencing left knee soreness. He will undergo treatment involving physical therapy and load management. That's according to The Athletic. So
plus nine, if anyone's not going to laugh. Heat plus nine right now tomorrow.
My phone is out.
There you go.
But something to keep in mind, that obviously take away my prediction. You know, well, actually, I had the Sixers fourth, so I would stand by that.
Yeah, no, I think the Sixers will still be able to get there. They're just one game in back of the Pacers now. You expect them to fall by the wayside a little bit at some point. I've really had a hard time handicapping this Eastern Conference race. Obviously, you have your big four teams: Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Philadelphia. The trouble that I personally have with Toronto is their best player in Kawhi Leonard is probably going to be gone after the season. And, you know, you get to the playoffs, et cetera. There's going to be so much made of that. I think it's going to weigh that team down a little bit. So not that I don't think they can get there. For me, it's just hard to bet on a team that's going to have to withstand that. Kawhi's not exactly a guy that can probably handle a lot of press like that. Lowry has been kind of beat up for this team off and on as well. So that makes it very concerning for me with the Raptors. And you could certainly argue that with some of these other teams as well. You know, Philadelphia with Harris and Butler, their status. I think it just can kind of hold these teams down from a chemistry standpoint. And even Boston and Kyrie, that is a little bit concerning to me as well. So that's why it's been hard for me to really feel good about any of those three teams. So the Bucks are a little bit on the better footing with me. Certainly Middleton can be a free agent after the season. And, you know, to me, the Bucks have more of a problem as far as the experience side of things from being there with this coach, with this team intact, and being able to beat the Bostons of the world in the playoffs. So that kind of holds me back on that team. So I've yet to really feel good about any of these teams, at least from a price perspective, to be able to jump out of the Eastern Conference here.
Fair enough. I know what you mentioned. I said this last year in sports radio. I said, you know, Danny Ainge has to be really careful. When you start to treat players like widgets, there's going to be a saturation point or tipping point where these guys are going to realize, because their strength, the Celtics' strength, was locker room and cohesion and chemistry a year ago. Everybody played hard. Everybody played together. Stevens was, you know, pushing all the perfect buttons. But then you start hearing all these rumors, and it's just kind of like you realize that that emotional connection that they had to the locker room starts to be broken, because the players realize that they're just, you know, pawns, and that they could be moved for Anthony Davis. So they're and I wonder if there's, you know, the toothpaste is out of the tube with the Celtics, and what gave them their edge a year ago is no longer the case, whether it be Kyrie's comments and just the trade rumors and everything. So I wonder if the Celtics, I don't want to say broken beyond repair, but some of that magic is gone, and Stevens has to kind of figure out another way to be an elite team in the East.
I agree with you, and that's what you worry about a team with Boston, because you've clearly at times been able to see that with their play this year. Because right now, yeah, they are just the fourth seed in this Eastern Conference, and yeah, they've had some pretty bad losses. So yeah, that's definitely concerning.
Well, ER, I appreciate it. Preston texted me. He had to jump off, so he's got kid duty. So certainly understandable. He texted me, thank you, sending you his best as well. But it was good to connect, man. It was fun to talk NBA. Games return tomorrow. I'm really aching for that. It's been too long, and you know, we'll have to talk more down the road, bud.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. I know you'll be calling me to get some more research on these 12-point favorites in the NBA. But, yeah, look forward. I assume we'll be doing it. Hey, the playoffs are really not that far away, about 7 weeks away, Doug. So I would assume we'll be doing another podcast here in a couple months.
I love the NBA. You love it. You've been betting for a long time with the association, so it was good to get your perspective on everything, man. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Pay that man his money.
All right, good to always incorporate Bob Lee into the show. We appreciate the general El Jefe and all his contributions here on the Behind the Bets podcast. And, of course, we appreciate the time and effort and research we got from Preston Johnson and Aaron Renning here on the pod. So hopefully all you NBA fans and those bettors kind of soak all that in, and a lot that we discussed to get into or keep in the back of your minds as we head into the second half of the season. Gabe, are you a full-on degenerate now?
I think so. I think I've got enough insight to actually be able to get there and get my hands dirty.
Something we do with Kai at the end of the podcast is Confessions of a Non-Gambler. So anything in that pod where we were really in the weeds of gambling talk that was over your head that would also mean that some of our listeners here might want some clarification on, anything that resonates or sticks out that you think was like, what exactly did you mean there?
Well, I was interested in the market correction stuff.
Right.
I thought that was good. I mean, it makes sense in terms of like the definition of the words, but I hadn't heard it like associated with gambling before, so it was interesting to hear.
Right. So the parallels are like roulette wheel, the black and the red and the green, right? The odds of those colors do not change at all, even if you walk by in the casino and the red is just like 11 times in a row. The odds of red are the same, no matter what has happened the previous, right? But if there are hot teams and there's in sort of like overwhelming support of a team, there is going to be a tax on that team. So like if the Warriors have just been a covering machine and they're a public team like Golden State is, there's going to be a tax that the books will correct. There'll be some market correction and sort of tax people who want to keep riding them, because they're all, a lot of their job titles are risk management, things like that. So it's about balancing their books and management of risk. And that's where the market correction sort of terminology applies.
Perfect.
All right. Anything else?
Because yes,
sometimes I'm going off my own memory. I don't think there was anything crazy terms that we, you know, by the hook, you know, some of the stuff that we've sometimes thrown out. So hopefully there was no confusion. Again, you can always tweet us some questions for next week. I know the couple you asked about college basketball. We'll certainly get into it with the March Madness just around the corner and championship week. And we also have some fun stuff in terms of content on the horizon. I also posted a piece on ESPN.com about baseball, the odds. Westgate released their odds on Sunday. We had already talked about it with Caesars. We'll get a baseball guest coming up. But the Red Sox are underdogs in the AL East, which is crazy considering they had a franchise record in wins and also won the World Series title. But the Yanks are the favorites. Manny Machado news, all that stuff is on there. And Ben Fox, who does a great job with ESPN Chalk, also posted the season win totals of every baseball team. Also the yes-no of every team to reach the playoffs. So Westgate went all out. You can bet on the home run title, the pitcher with the most wins, and a lot of fun cross props like Dodgers total wins minus X again, to the Angels, Giants, A's, Yankees, Red Sox. So there's a lot of props out there that Westgate Superbook put out. So we'll have much more coverage of baseball entering the season, as well as March Madness just around the corner. So thanks to everyone for downloading. Remember, tweet us questions at Doug ESPN. And good to be back. Good to be back in the chair. And again, a lot more fun content on the horizon. Thanks to everyone for downloading. What is it? Download, rate, review, subscribe, right?
That's correct.
All right. A little rusty coming off vacation.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.